on me. It's time to get it checked, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me. What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about? Take your best shot, I'ma take the last shot. I'm Jordan in the clutch, boy. You bitten on me. It's time to get it checked, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me. What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about?
All righty, guys. My name is Andrew Robinson, and we are joined here today by a DMV legend, man. We got former Virginia Tech Hokie, former Paul the Sixth WCAC legend, Eric Green. And this is obviously, man, a conversation that I've definitely been looking forward to having. Obviously, as a guy who's played in the league, played overseas, done it at a high level, man. Definitely excited to have you on, man. And definitely, man, yeah, like I said, man, just looking forward to this to the discussion.
Man, I appreciate y'all having me, man. I'm excited to talk about my journey, man, and just let the viewers know, man, it's, you know, about my life and how it's been going.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, man. This is another episode of the Auto Big Guys. As always, make sure you guys are liking this podcast, subscribing to this podcast. Give us a rating, man. 5 stars only, por favor. That was our guy, Pull Up Tay, on the intro. He's going to be on the outro again. Make sure you guys are streaming his music, man. He just dropped the track on YouTube, actually, So Illa. So make sure you guys go ahead and check that out, man. Definitely one of the best up-and-coming artists in the DMV, man. But like I said, man, we got a DMV legend on the podcast today, man. So definitely want to kind of get into it with you, man. I want to start, obviously, from the beginning, man, kind of where I started. Obviously, I did some research, man. I you know, found out that you obviously grew up or you were born in Inglewood before you kind of moved to the DMV area. Went to Millbrook for 3 years, and then obviously ended up transferring over to PVI. So, first and foremost, man, just talk about growing up here in the DMV area, man. What that basketball hoop scene was like for you, and then what kind of went into your decision to transfer into PVI for your senior year?
I'm from Winchester, Virginia. A lot of people don't know that.
Okay.
You said, I was born in Cali. My mom's from Inglewood, California, her whole side of the family. Lived there for a few years, and we moved out to this small town called Winchester, Virginia. And, man, I played basketball at a young age, you know. But in my town, it was real small. We didn't have any real, you know, great hooping. So we came out this way to D.C. I started playing for TakeOver. And, you know, I just started, you know, learning. So I always have a chip on my shoulder when I play out here, you know, because they didn't really accept me, you know. So it kind of, you know, they were like, who's this country guy down here making all met? And, you know, he's not playing against nobody.
Yeah.
But, so I always play with a little chip on my shoulder. And, man, the experience, like I said, man, there's nothing like, I know you grew up here around here. So, you know, like DMV basketball, I think, is one of the best in the whole world. You know, I mean, we have so many good hoopers and stuff like that. And, you know, so I went to Millbrook for my first 3 years, played well, won a state championship there. It was great. And then I just felt like it was time for me to move on to try to, you know, where I wanted to get to play the ACC. I knew WCAC was, you know, as you know, one of the best conferences in the country.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, I got down there, Paul the Sixth, man. And I'm not gonna lie to you, man. You know, I looks good on this paper, but I struggled the first two months when I wasn't used to the physicality. I wasn't used to the speed. I wasn't just used to it. I mean, yeah, I played AAU, but high school was just totally different. So I struggled. And I say around like Christmas time is when I finally like picked it up and started, you know, playing like myself and getting my confidence. And, you know, once we won our first state championship at Paul the Sixth. So it was the first time ever. And then we started getting good guys coming in after. And now, you know, it's like a powerhouse now in the DMV area.
It's crazy, man. Crazy how far it's come. Now, you mentioned TakeOver, man. Who were some of the guys that you played on TakeOver with? And then also, like, who were some of the guys that were kind of in that 09 high school class that you were playing against in the WCAC and in the DMV area? Side note, too. So I went to Springbrook. So I'm a lot younger than you. I graduated 2014, but 09 was actually the year that we won our second straight state title. We went 27-0. Our head coach, Coach Tom Crow, was actually the All-Met Coach of the Year that year.
I think ranked
second in the area. My man Jamal Olasoway was
Jamal. First. I know him.
That's my big bro, man.
I remember we were in the All-Met picture together.
Yeah, yeah,
I remember
man.
Jamal, man, he could play, man. Yes, sir. I remember Jamal. That's what's up, man. When I was playing with TakeOver, man, I had Maurice Creek. You know, a heck of a player, man. You know, his injuries, man. If it wasn't for his injuries, man, I think he'd be in the lead. I played with Victor Ella. Yeah, he was a bad dude. Victor Oladipo, the Grant, Jerry and Grant. I'm trying to think of who else. Those are really kind of like the big names that I play with. And in my 09 class, so I used to go up against, man, John Wall, Avery Bradley. I'm trying to think who else was in there that was tough, real tough. Before Dexter Strickland got hurt, he was tough. You know, I mean, Kyrie was a year younger than me, so we got to play against Kyrie. He played up. Brandon Knight, Kenny Boynton. It was some real good bump out there, you know what I mean? So I missed those days. High school basketball was love back then.
For sure, man. Obviously, you know, you went on from PVI and ended up going to Virginia Tech, and you had quite the story, man. I mean, it's not often that you go from averaging, like, what, 2 or 3 points per game your freshman
2 points, yeah.
Yeah, where you led the nation in scoring, averaged 25 points per game, man. And I'm a D.C. Warriors basketball alum. I got to plug in my AAU program. Shout out to my head coach. And, you know, we had two D.C. Warrior basketball alums that went to Virginia Tech, Nigel Munson, who was a DeMatha guy. Yeah. And then Jeff Adams, also the Matha guy that went to Tech, that I know you play with during your time there. So it was crazy for me, man, because I obviously looked up to those guys. And, you know, when they left, obviously getting to see you play was crazy. And what you were able to do over your 4 years at Virginia Tech was definitely like something special, man, because you don't see guys, for one, especially in today's day and age, 2022, man, dudes average 2 points a game, they in the portal. You know what
I'm saying? Right, 100%.
Around, they're not sticking it out. So for you,
exactly right.
I kind of want to talk to you about, one, just what went through your mind after your freshman year. Did you ever contemplate leaving? And then kind of what kind of went into just the whole transformation of your game from 2 points per game to when you're the most prolific scorer in the country your senior year?
Man, honestly, I'm going to be real with you, man. Averaging the first 2 points was tough. You know, I realized, like, you know, in that summertime when I was thinking, like, I need to transfer. This ain't for me. Yeah. You know what I mean? But honestly, my parents sat me down and were so real with me. They're like, yo, what are you doing down there? Are you working hard? Like, what are you doing? What's your priorities? Yeah. And that was a reality check. And my dad was always raising me. He's like, once you start something, you finish it. So we're not leaving. Like, you're not down there doing the right stuff. You're not down there working your tail off. So, you know, you need to get it right. So then I remember going into that summer, into my 10th grade, my sophomore year, I'm sorry. Man, I got better. My confidence got better. I think I averaged like 10 points, something like that, whatever it was. And I'm like, all right, you know, I got to keep working. Got to keep, I can work. I see the work, you know, translating. So let's keep working. And going to my junior year, I kept working and went up to 15, came second team all ACC. And then going to my senior year, one of the best things I ever did, man, is I got off all social media. I really stayed in the summertime the whole time. I made 20,000 shots. And on this gun machine, it prints out the receipt. So I had to put it in this bucket every day. So my strength and conditioning coach made me a bet. He's like, man, look, I'll make you a steak dinner if you can reach 20,000 shots. And every day I had to highlight the thing, put it in the bucket. And I had to do it before summer session ended. So I was like, all right, bet. So I was in there every morning at 7 o'clock. I'd be in there. I'd go do all my work. And I'd come back in the afternoon, get my work in and get up more shots. And so I took it as a challenge, always being in the gym. And when I came back after the summer, man, I came back playing with the guys. And I just saw my game just go from like here to another level. Cause I was always in the gym. I was working. And I was like, wow, man, it really paid off. So my confidence went to another level, and I had a heck of a senior season, and man, I really blew up. It was awesome to be able to score and, you know, do the things I did accomplished.
For sure. Now that's dope, man. What does that actually look like for you? Did you have like to get to that 20,000 number? Cause like, I like to think of myself, you know, as a gym rat. And for me, I'm a shooter, you know what I'm saying? So for me, I'm real big on like just my routine. Like I'm going in the gym, I'm doing the same thing every day as far as shooting the same shots, try to get the same amount of reps up. So for you, like, did you have like, all right, I'm going to shoot 500 in the morning or like 500 in the afternoon? Like, how did you kind of hit that 20,000 number? Were you just like counting every day? Like, how did that even happen?
Well, honestly, I would shoot on the gun. So the gun, you know how the gun always keeps track of everything. So yeah, it counts everything. So what I would do is, man, I would make it. So my assistant coach made me do this drill. It was a 4 minute drill. So you're in a spot, you catch and shoot for 4 minutes, boom, 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 move to the next spot for 4 minutes, boom, boom, boom. I got to probably the top, I couldn't shoot no more. Yeah. Like my arms couldn't lift at all. So, you know, when I did that, I was like, oh man. So then you could tell the more and more you practice by the end of the summer, I was all the way around, just doing 4 minutes, catching, shooting. And it was the same form every single time. So I'm like, I know how to shoot it now. You know what I mean? It's repetition. And then, you know, I would always make games out of it. He'd always make me do like, okay, we're going to make 20 coming off down screens. We're going to make 20 doing this. We're going to make 20. So every day, like, all right, 250 shots in the morning, 250 shots in the evening. We have to make 250 shots.
Yep.
So I was like, all right, bet. And then, you know, once you see the ball, as you know, as a shooter, once you see the ball keep going in and in, you know, you get it down, your confidence goes high, you know, you can really shoot the ball.
Yep.
And, you know, I always tell people, like, don't just do spot shots. It's not realistic, because a lot of times in the game, how many spot shots do you get with no contest?
Exactly.
Like, how many, you know what I mean? So you're not really working on anything, you know, like work on, you know, different shots, work on harder shots, you know, work on shots that might be tough for you. But in reality, it's like, man, the game is like, oh, that's not really tough. When people are like, oh, that's tough. Like, no, that's not tough, bro. I work on this every day. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like that. And that's when I look at like these superstars, like when they're scoring, I'm like, man, people are like, that's tough. And I'm over here like, nah, bro, they really work on that every day. You know what I mean? Like, I've seen it. I've seen Harden do it. You know what I mean? I've seen, you know, Paul George in the gym, Victor Oladipo in the gym, and these guys working on their game. And I'm like, this is why they make the money they are. That's why they where they at.
So, man, I didn't even have this question planned, but I got to ask you, because this way the convo is going now. I mean, obviously, you play at the absolute highest level, NBA, EuroLeague, and such and such. I was listening to a podcast the other day, and Andre Iguodala was talking, and he was talking about basically working out in the summer and, like, how guys really get better. And what he said was most guys, when they go to the gym in the summertime, they get their workout plans, and they're like, all right, you know, I'm going to do – you know, we're going a little ball handling, a little shooting, might do a little post work, might do a little bit, you know, 3-point shooting, and kind of working on like a plethora of things. He was like, but the real way to kind of get better is, because they're essentially like, yo, you want to, they're trying to take these huge leaps in one off season, right? And what he basically said was, you know, the way he used to do it, or the way guys really improve, is over 5 or 6 years, one off season, right? The whole summer, you might just work on your ball handling. Like every day, I'm going to really focus on my ball handling. And next year, I'm going to come in the gym, and I'm only going to work on my post-ups. Obviously, you're still going to probably shoot, get your shots up, things like that. But the main focus of that summer is, all right, I'm going to work on improving my post-up game. You know what I'm saying? And kind of incrementally over 5 or 6 summers, you've improved on every aspect of your game, and now you have everything, as opposed to, you know, kind of improving by incremental levels each summer, because you're not really focusing on one specific thing. And you just mentioned, like, watching those guys, you know, work out. And for you, you played at a high level for so long. Like, what do you think is the key to guys being able to take that next step in their game in the summer from a workout and training standpoint? Do you have a philosophy now for your offseason, the kind of things that you work out on, or kind of you have kind of a routine that you've kind of stuck to for the last couple of years, and it's just kind of the same now?
Yeah, for me, it's kind of the same now. It's like one thing I've learned is, like, the best players know who they are. Like, what do you do? You know what I mean? If you're not a great 3-point shooter, okay, yeah, this is the summertime. Let's work on that. All right. But also, like, now don't get away from what you do best. You know what I mean? Making sure you can never be perfect. You can never be great at something. It's like you can always improve in something. So, like, I agree, man. Like, ball handling. If there's all people say that at the high level, you have to do one thing good.
Yeah.
Find one thing good that you're good at, your niche, you know? And stick with it and perfect it. Perfect your craft. If you're a 3-and-D type of guy, that's what your job is, man. Lock up and learn how to shoot the three. Knock down the three when they kick it out to you. And I think once people learn how to perfect your craft every single summer, and like he said, if you're a shooter, man, you should be shooting it every single summer. You should be in the gym every day getting a lot of shots up, making shots. I always say make shots, don't take shots. Because once you can see the ball go through the net, you know what I mean? Anybody can take a shot and just, you know, shoot it. You know what I mean? I think that's just a waste of time for me. But, you know, I agree with Iguodala on that statement. And like I said, for me, man, I work on, you know, I'm a shooter. You know what I mean? I got to make shots. If I take 10, I take pride in always shooting 50%, trying to make 50%. You know what I mean? That's my goal. And everywhere in the free throw line, I always shoot a lot of free throws. And one thing I've learned in the last 2 summers, man, when I watch people, passing. We don't work on passing. Yeah. And these last 2 summers, my trainers changed it up, and I've been working on passing now. And it's just it's helped me a lot, man. I'm like, man, I can pass now. You know what I mean? I see these Europeans, you know, playing in Europe, man, them guys can really pass the ball. I'm like, man, like, you know, and I think as Americans, when you watch workouts, man, you see people work on passing. There's so many, yeah, we don't. There's so many different ways you can pass, you know what I mean, off the pick and roll when you're in the middle of a crowd with bigs around, how to ball fake and stuff like that. And I think, you know, it's just little things like that that can improve your game that could really, you know, help.
So one thing that I always wondered, you know, I'm a follower of overseas basketball and things like that. You see a bunch of guys like Shane Larkin, for example, had a career in the league, opted to go overseas, and he's been overseas ever since. Mike James has done the same thing. Your teammate at Virginia Tech, Malcolm Delaney, has kind of done that. For you, obviously, you know, you were with Denver and also had a stint with the Jazz, and then you opted to go overseas and to Olympiacos. For me, I guess my question for you is, what was the thought process between, like, all right, you know, you had done the D-League, you know what I'm saying? What was your thought process between, all right, like, should I stick it out in the league, or am I going to just try to go overseas, you know, make this money and have an opportunity, you know, where I'm probably going to have a bigger role? I always wonder, like, how do you guys make that decision, and kind of what goes into making that decision to, go overseas or stay in the league, or, you know, whatever it may be?
Yeah, well, when I came out, man, honestly, I got drafted at 46, and then they drafted and stashed me to play in EuroLeague. And I'm over here in my head like, yo, what the heck is EuroLeague? Like, what is this? You know what I mean? What's Europe? You know what I mean? I didn't know nothing about it at that time. We didn't have social media like people have it now. You know what I mean? So I was like, man, what is this? So I go over there. I'm like, man, I'm about to kill this. This is going to be easy. And then you get over there and you realize, like, yo, these dudes is nice. Like, they can play. You know what I'm saying? So then, so that was like, that's like the NBA over there. You know what I mean? So I was like, that's cool. This is all cool. But my goal was to come back and play in the NBA here. So after that season in EuroLeague, man, I came to play with the Denver for a year. That was a great experience. You know, I got to play in some games. You know, I got to play against, you know, LeBron, Kobe, Steph, all the big names. That was awesome. And then I went to going into my second year. I made it to like November, and I got cut. Then I played in the G League, which was, you know, it was cool. I got some good runs in. I got my, you know, got to play a lot more. And then, you know, Utah picked me up for a little bit. And then, you know, so then after that year, I had a decision to make to try the NBA again or go to Europe. And at that time, Olympiacos offered me a lot of money. And that was the most money I've ever seen in my life. So, you know, at that time, I'm like, man, let's go get this money. And Greece is nice. And they're like, man, if you play well, you could, you know, come back to the NBA. Yeah. Well, honestly, man, once I got over there, I realized, like, man, I'm actually playing. I want to play. I want to get better. You know what I mean? Like, yes, I can come to the NBA and do the two-way. And, you know, they've asked me to come to training camps. But it's like, I'm going to be the, you know, 13th, 14th man. I was realistic with myself, you know, and then the older I got, I realized the NBA is getting younger. And I always want to, you know, I see it and I want to go back so bad. I do. I want to give it another try. You know, I really do. Yeah. But I'm happy, you know, I found my lane, you know, I'm happy. You know what I mean? You know, I'm making, you know, a career for myself, and I'm doing what I love. So, you know, I enjoy it, but you know, everybody's path is different, and you know, I really do wish I could have gave the NBA one more push.
Hey man, hey you still hooping, man. I just seen you playing at Gennardo, man. You still got it, so you had to give it another chance. You know what I'm saying? You could always. Would you ever consider going back or giving it another shot?
Honestly, I don't know, man. I really don't know. You know, if it was the right situation, you know, a good opportunity, yeah, I think I would. I would try it again. Now I'm older now, you know. I know I'm in my 30s. I just turned 31, so I know, you know.
Still in your prime.
Yeah, hey, that's how I feel. I feel like that. I feel good. You know what I mean? But you know, the NBA loves. You know, it's different now. It's young.
Yeah. So I guess I definitely got a sense since we're on the subject, man. Looking back on your time with the Nuggets, with the Jazz, like you had like a favorite moment, or whether it was playing against Bron or Kobe or Steph, or just kind of maybe a game, your career high game, like just. What was kind of just like your favorite moment, I guess, from being in the league? Or if there's more than one, just kind of speak on that.
My first preseason game, man, we in San Diego, man. And, you know, I'm a Kobe fan, you know. So, man, we in the tunnel stretching. I'm already nervous, heart beating. You know, I'm like, man. And I get to play. So, you know what I mean? I'm like, I get to go against Steve Nash, Jeremy Lin. This time Jeremy Lin just got with the Lakers.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, man. So we in the hallway, I see Swaggy P jumping, just being energetic like Swaggy P was. Yeah. You know, they out there just talking. And then, man, I'm like, yo, so I'm over here like, where Kobe at, man? Where Kobe at?
Yeah.
So Kobe didn't come out. So I'm like, oh, I guess he ain't playing today. Whatever, whatever. So the door opened and Kobe come out. I'm like, oh, well, my team over here about to break it down. I'm like, oh, okay, I got to go break it down. But I'm in straight startup like, yo, Kobe, Kobe. So, but nah, man, that was crazy for me. And then, you know, warming up and stuff, like, man, you just see everybody's flashlight on them. You know what I mean? I've never seen so many people, like, locked in on one person. Like, it was the most impressive thing ever for me. And so I got out there, man. I'm watching. I'm sitting there. They throw me in the game. I'm like, oh, I'm on the same floor as Kobe. I'm more excited to play on the same floor as Kobe. I'm worried about my own game. You know what I mean? But I finished with 12 points and 5 assists. I was happy. It was my first preseason game. You know, I mean, my first shot was an air ball. I hit the front of the rim. It was real bad. I remember that. But it was a great experience, man. And then one of my favorite second stories is LeBron, of course. You know, we playing them on TNT, 9 o'clock. I'm like, man, I'm not going to play. You know what I mean? So it's all good. Man, so we warming up and stuff like that. I'm laying the ball. I'm like, all right. So we get down. It's in the fourth quarter. They're like, yo, Eric, man. Third quarter. I'm like, Eric, get in. I'm like, shh. At that time, it was Kevin Love. It was LeBron. It was Kyrie. So I'm like, oh, man. Yeah, Mike Miller. I'm like, oh, man, this is tough. But so at the time, like, yeah, man, I'm getting in there. So I get in there, man. I had 6 points. You know what I mean? Like, we come back. We cut the lead, but we lost. But just the experience being on the court with them great dude, like them great players, man, it was unbelievable. It was unbelievable.
That's crazy, man. Shoot, definitely. Man, ain't too many dudes, like I said, they put on that NBA jersey, man. So you definitely one of them ones for sure, man. What would you say is the biggest difference between the NBA and Europe just from a play style perspective? Because I know Luka Doncic has talked a bunch about it as far as, like, obviously the spacing in the NBA is a lot different. The way they referee the game is a lot different. Just from your experience, what do you think is the biggest difference between the way the game is played in the NBA versus in Europe?
In the league, you got all that space. You know what I mean? You can't help off too much. I got too many shooters around. You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot. But in Europe, as you know, it's like college on steroids where everybody can stay in the paint. Everybody's huge. The court shrink. And then you got 6'7" playing a wing. You know what I mean? You're a big guy. So you playing a wing with your long arms, you know? It's harder. You know what I mean? Where outside in the NBA, it's like I'm one-on-one. If I get by my man, I'm at the rim. Where in Europe, I get by my man. I got help. I got to kick out. I see a 6'10", 7-foot big dude, you know, stepping up. You know, you got to figure out different ways. Yep. But I think for Luka, it was, you know, he was already at a young age playing against grown men. And then as you see, when he got to, you know, the NBA, it was just easy for him. That all that, once he figured to play at his own pace and all that space he could have, I think it was really easy for him.
Now, I know you played in Spain in 2018 and then obviously in Fenerbahce 2019. Did you play against Luka when he was over there in Spain?
Yes. So I remember my first time out, he was 16 years old. I remember I came home after I played in Valencia, Spain. He played for Real Madrid.
Yep.
He played and I was like, man, I came home. I said, yo, this kid over here named Luka. That's unbelievable. They were like, yeah. No one's good over there in Europe, whatever, man. I'm not hearing that. You know, I'm like, nah, yo, like. Yo, he's nice. Like, I don't really give a lot of people credit. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a hard critic. Like, I'm like, nah, dude, like, this dude is nice. And then once I found out he was 16, I'm like, oh, yeah, he's the goods. I was like, he's the guy. And you could tell, like, he had all that baby, you know, weight still. He had baby weight on him. You know what I mean? I'm like, he's a big kid, you know? And then so that following year, the best thing that ever happened, I mean, not for him, you know what I mean? I love Sergio Yule, great player. But Sergio Yule towards ACL. So that gave Luka an opportunity to showcase his talent and become, you know, have an MVP season in EuroLeague and, you know, really show out. And his confidence was through the roof. You know, so, I mean, it's just all about, you know, if Sergio Yule never got hurt, we don't know how we would see Luka be, you know, with all that confidence and to be the way he did, dominate the way he did, you know, the year before he went to the NBA.
Yep. Now, played in a bunch of places, Spain, Turkey, you've been to China. Like, I think what a lot of people don't kind of realize, and I talked about this on last week's podcast with James Robinson. He just actually was, actually just kind of retired from basketball. He's going to be coaching at Delaware. We had a podcast with him last week. He played in the Abba League last year. His team won domestic league title and all that. And we're kind of talking about just some of the ups and downs that you kind of go through, you know, being overseas, whether it's from a mental standpoint, the culture shock thing that you're going through, the language barrier. For you, like, based on your experiences in a lot of these different countries, what do you think has been, I guess, the most challenging part about playing overseas? I mean, obviously, you know, everybody kind of knows about, obviously, we're missing the birthdays and the holidays, and being away from your family obviously sucks, but I think there's also a mental component that goes into that as well. But I kind of wanted to get your opinion, man, because obviously you've been doing this for a long time, and, you know, what do you think is, I guess, the hardest part for you while just being overseas?
For sure, missing my family.
Yep.
Just missing my family and, you know, not being there, you know, for my kids. I mean, I missed the birth of my son. I missed the birth of my daughter. You know, my daughter's 3 now, so I miss, you know, I don't, you know, I see her in the summertime. You know, for my son, I missed the first 4 months of his life. So, you know, that is tough. But we all, as you know, we all do it, you know. And they know, they understand, you know, everybody understands. Yep. So that's really one of the hardest parts for me. With that whole aspect. But also I tell people, man, how fast you adapt. Mm-hmm. Some people are very hard-headed. They want to go over there and do the American tendencies and not buy into their culture and stuff like that. So you make it harder for yourself. Now, if you go over there with that, it's not going to work. You know, you want to play your way. You think you're going to go one-on-one all the time. That's not how it works over there. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you got to go as a team, eat breakfast as a team, eat lunch as a team, eat dinner as a team. And it's different for a lot of guys. Definitely guys come from the NBA. You know, in NBA, you're on your own time.
Yep.
You know, you can do whatever you want anytime you want. Where overseas, you're on their time. You know, and I think people try to fight it. It's like, no, man, don't fight it, man. Go over there. The sooner you buy in and just enjoy yourself and make the best of it, because you're there.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Then you'll be successful.
Yep.
You know, and I think if you try to go over there and fight it, I think you won't be, it's just not going to work out for you.
Yeah, that was one of the things I noticed earlier too. I was in Portugal last year, and like, mm-hmm. I'll never forget, like, out of all our team dinners, lunch, pregame meal, all that, like, when we, because I mean, in college and the AAU, like, you get a team meal, pregame meal, you finish your food, like, all
right,
y'all,
I'm out, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Man, over there, it's like, they look at you, like, where you going? Like, you're trying
to get
food, like, you're not leaving until the whole table is done eating.
Exactly right.
Y'all all leaving together. People be in that joint, yeah. Looking at their phone, was like, yeah, done. And then over the overseas, know how they be. They be getting their little coffees.
Hey, man, they be taking a good old time. I'm like, bro, come on, man. We've been here for 40 minutes. I'm trying to go upstairs.
I'm trying to get my nap. You know what I'm saying? Nah, for real, man. That's really how it be over there. And like, so question, I'm playing in Japan right now. And obviously, you know, Asia is a lot different than Europe, just from a cultural standpoint, from a food standpoint. Like, I mean, I've been eating some crazy stuff over here. Like, just raw fish and cow tongue and
I know, kind of the same way.
I was gonna say, so what's like the craziest thing you've ever ate overseas, or when they brought out, you like, oh, what's this, and they said some crazy stuff? Like,
man, you be real with you, man, whale dick. Man, I ain't even gonna lie to you, man, they put out this nothing.
Where?
You know what I mean? I was in China, man. I got on my phone. I'll send you the video of it. It's on my story in China, man. Oh yeah, on my thing. It's whale dick, bro. And it looks no homo like a sausage, you know, sausage gorilla. So I'm sitting there looking, I'm picking at it, right? I'm like, oh man, it's the guy. My other American teammate laughing. And I'm like, y'all laughing? Y'all laughing at? You know what I mean? He like, yo, bro, you know what that is, right? I'm like, shit, probably like some sausage or something, you know? He said. The Chinese dudes over there eating it. I'm like, yo, what are y'all doing, bro? Like, but they be eating, you know, wild stuff.
Wow. Was it good at least? Like, was it like, it was trash?
I'm not gonna hold you. It was all right, you know what I mean? It might sound a little weird, but you know what I mean? Like,
nah, that is hilarious, man. No, I think that's really like, but I mean, you gotta embrace it. You know what I'm saying? I think that's one thing, man. Like, you really gotta embrace it. And I think, you know, for one, that shows the local guys that you're invested, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly right.
A lot of times, that doing stuff like that, you know, eating the food that they eat, you know what I'm saying, adapted to their customs, going out with them, that can honestly get you a job faster than scoring 20 or 30 points, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
There's a lot of guys that can score the ball.
Exactly.
They be over there in their apartments, not trying to go out and experience the culture, and Right. Oh, yeah, they take a, I think that's one thing I noticed too. Like, they really take offense to that. Like, it's not like
they do
kind of like, yeah. Oh, you do your own thing. It's like, nah,
oh, you're too good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you're too good.
That's one thing that I've learned over here, man. It's like, you really got to embrace that aspect of it, because if you right. don't embrace that off the court aspect, then I mean, they'll send you home for that, or they won't retire. Yeah. You're trying to get blackballed or something like that.
And you know, once you kind of get out of the mix over there in Europe, you know, it's hard to get back in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so it's like, people just got to go over there, man. I always say, I tell everybody, just embrace it, man. Enjoy it. You're over there. I understand it's long. We're missing stuff. But when it's all said and done, how many times you just say you're going to go to Japan? You know, when you get done playing, man, you might not ever make it back to Japan. You know what I mean? And you probably never even thought you was going to Japan.
Never, ever. It's crazy.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so the experience, you can come back and tell the stories and stuff, the wild stuff you've eaten.
Yep.
You know what I mean? The stuff you've seen. Like, but I mean, at the end of the day, you can't beat it, man. Like, you get to do something you love, so I think it's dope.
I think that's really been the best part of it, man. I mean, I remember I was in Portugal, and you got the FIBA break, and I was able to go to Milan. I'm in Milan during Fashion Week, and I'm like, yo, like, I'm really out here during Fashion Week in Milan. Like, this is something people, like, dream about doing, you know what I'm
right,
saying?
100%.
This last weekend, I was in Japan, and I got to see the Hiroshima National Peace Museum, which was where they dropped the atomic bomb.
Bomb, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, man, this is like, I literally got to see the building. They still have the frame up above the building where they dropped the bomb at. And I'm like, man, like, this is something I would have never dreamed about seeing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's just a crazy experience to be able to have that. And I think that's one thing that I started doing now is I started kind of just creating content about it, like making reels, TikToks, trying to really show people what the lifestyle is like overseas. Cause you know how it is. You get so many, yo, man, what's life like over there, man? What's it like? You know what I'm saying? Like, the vibes? And I saw, man, you actually did a collab with Overseas Fish. I think it was a year or two ago during the pandemic, kind of showcasing, you know, what your life was like in Turkey. I think you had a little YouTube channel that you were doing too, man. But, you know, for you, like, kind of what went into that, just a collab with Overseas Fish? And why did you think it was important to kind of show people what the day in the life of Eric Green was like at that time?
Because I had a lot of, where I'm from, man, a lot of people ask me, like you said, you know, I'm sure all your friends, family ask them, what's it like, man? What's it is? So I was like, man, let me show everybody what it really is, because a lot of people think it's sweet.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't know what you really go through. A lot of people, and I didn't get a chance to show everything, I, you know what I mean? The behind the scenes stuff, you know, what we can't show.
Yeah.
But it was like, man, it's not all fine and dandy all the time. We have bad days too.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, it's hard for us sometimes, you know? So I wanted to show people, and Overseas Fits does a great job of, you know, showing overseas the lifestyle, you know, showing different guys. And I just, for me personally, like, what we do, eat, man, we go to practice, you know what I mean? Like, you know, we play, you know, we got a lot of pressure on us as Americans.
Yep.
You know, because people can come take our job fast in anything. It's easy to replace us.
Quick, right next.
Quick, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, I wanted to show people, man, like, yo, for me, like, I was in Turkey, you know, how we live, you know, what we're doing, you know, all that. And I wanted people to show, like, hey, young kids, man, this is what you really want to do one day. You know, and there's other ways to make money outside of the NBA, because there's only 458 spots or whatever it is. Yep. Like, we can't all be in the NBA. And there's a lot of great talent who guys are overseas, who play in the NBA, but are in a better situation across the water. And this is, I tell people at the end of the day, man, it's not about, you know, of course, it's great for your career to make, you know, win trophies and all that, but this is about taking care of yourself and your family, man. You know, making sure you guys are set up and you guys don't have to stress over money one day. And you can, you know, do something you love. We love this game of basketball. It's blessed us. Okay. You know what I mean? And that's why I always love to kiss the ball. Every ball I get, I love to kiss it, because thank you for changing my life. Thank you. You know what I mean? Like,
real.
It's without you, man, I don't know where I would be. I don't know what I would be doing. And you blessed me with a wonderful family, a wonderful house, a wonderful situation I'm in. So, you know, I never take it for granted. I love playing the game. And, you know, I just hate seeing people, you know, play it the wrong way or just like, you know, do the basketball wrong. I'm like, man, y'all don't know, this should change my life, man.
Nah, for real. I think one thing too, and people, like you said, man, definitely ain't sweet, especially in Europe. Man, you got them 2 days of practices, you got the morning don't lifts, and you got, well, if you playing like you were a European competition, you might have a couple games a week where you flying and like,
right, yeah.
It's a grind. You know what I'm saying? The coaches is not playing, especially if you get Serbian coaches, AM coaches, they not playing at all, man. They got that national pride, man. So it's like,
right.
It's and I kind of wanted to ask you, like, obviously, from my experience, obviously being in Portugal and being in Japan is a lot different. Just the way they do things in Europe compared to Asia. Obviously, you played in China. You kind of had that same feel kind of in the, I guess, just the difference in the basketball culture in general. Like, what do you think is kind of the biggest differentiator between basketball in Europe versus basketball in China, whether it be, you know, from the off the court stuff, the practicing, things like that? What would you say is the biggest difference, like positives and negatives for the two?
In Europe, you're going to work, as you know. Like, you go, they go get every dollar worth of it. You know what
every
I mean?
You're
going to work every day. You know, yeah. And people don't understand an off day is like you traveling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, okay, we might get in at 5 o'clock. That's your off day. I'm like, man, that's not an off day. We traveled all day. You know right. what I mean? Like, it's time to relax, nothing. And come back to practice the next morning. You know what I mean? It's just like, and you know, in Europe, they practice. You know what I mean? It's you're going to practice.
Fully taped, banging.
Yeah, tape practice. And, you know, in China, it's more like, okay, you know, we need you for the night, so rest. You know what I mean? Where it's like, we get to score and shoot all the balls in China and, you know, entertain and put on a show. Where in Europe, man, it's a team-oriented game. And if you can't play that type of style, they'll replace you. It's you know what I mean? It's easy. If you can't figure it out, if you can't shoot the ball, you can't play in Europe.
Yeah. Now, kind of bringing it all home, man. Obviously, you just wrapped up a weekend. You know, you won the championship this weekend in the Kenner League. One thing I wanted to ask you, man, is like this summer, not even just in the Kenner League, because you had the opportunity to play with all three of the Grant brothers this summer on the same court doing on your team. And I've noticed just around the country, like obviously in the Brunson as well, they had Montrezl Harrell, Emmanuel Quickly, Bones Highland was up there. Obviously, LeBron played in the Drew out west. You got like DeJounte Murray and Trae Young and John Collins popping out to Jamal Crawford's pro-am. Like, I've seen this all over the country, man. Like, high-level guys have been coming back to play in the summer. And, like, usually, past couple years, you haven't seen that because I feel a lot of times guys are, oh, I don't want to, you know, get hurt or, you know, it's like almost like guys are above playing in, like, these summer pro-ams. So for you, as a guy who obviously plays high-level basketball, what went into you deciding to play in the Kenner League this summer? And then do you think, like, I guess, what do you think has kind of gotten into, I guess, these other guys around the country to where NBA guys are popping out to these different pro-ams and, like, actually showing face as opposed to in the summer where it was kind of like you dudes acting like they was too good for it?
You know, it's actually funny because my homies always tell me, like, yo, bro, we don't get to see you play.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, that's true, y'all don't. And then, you know, we had the pro-am up here, and I actually like this pro-am because it's basketball. You know, it's not one of them things where you go one-on-one, clear out for 2 minutes, watch people go at it. I'm like, man, it's not basketball, man. What are you doing? Yeah, right. You know what I mean? So this was actually, you know, I got to play with the Grants, you know what I mean? Like, that was awesome. You get to play with, you know, a good Jeremy's a super, like, almost a superstar. He's an all-star, you know what I mean? Yeah, so yeah. Watching him at 6'9", move the way he does and the way he can shoot and perform, like, man, it's special. But for me, it was just like, man, I want to go out here, man, and, you know, show people, like, man, hey, I'm overseas, but I can still go. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I can still play, you know, and I play at a high level. And it's fun, man. You know, a lot of people don't get to see me play. People haven't said, like, I mean, I haven't seen you play since high school or college. You know what I mean? And I'm like, oh, man, it's good to see you, man. So, and I thought it was fun to play against Nigel, Jake Layman, guys in the NBA, who come back and played. And I thought it was awesome, man. I hope more and more guys next year will come out and play again. I have to say, why not, man? And like the NBA guys, man, a lot of kids can't afford to come see y'all play.
Facts.
You know what I mean? And don't forget where we come from. I get it. You know what I mean? We make a lot of money. I get it. But also, man, like, have some fun, man. You know what I mean? Like, this is kids love to see this. Kids on a Saturday, on a Sunday, nobody's doing much. You know, why not go out and play and have some fun and put on a show and, you know, entertain people? And at the end of the day, we all love competition. This is what we love to do. You right. know, so, and for me, I love, you know, going up against NBA guys. I love seeing it. You know what I mean? Because
yeah.
Let's go, bro. Let's have, you know what I mean? It's all competition. It's all love. Let's just go play.
Yep. Now, we could chop it up all day, man. So I'm not going to hold you too much longer. But I got one more question for you before I let you get out of here, man. Based on your time in Europe and overseas, man, who would you say is the best American that you had to match up with overseas and then the best European player that you've played against or played with during your time over in Europe?
Hmm. Probably my favorite European player is probably Spanoulis.
Who is it?
Vasilis Spanoulis. Spanoulis.
Okay. Okay.
He was just, man, he could, with the ball in his hands, he was special. And when you look at him, you're like, man, this bald headed old, you know what I mean? Like, he was slow, like, he just, like, he can't hoop. Yeah. But, man, he was unbelievable. His confidence, the way he can hit game winners, the way he knew how to win.
Yep.
You know, that was the way to put, like, yo, he knew how to win games. So it was like, that was impressive. You know, also, you know, watching Luka and his two, you know, playing against him for 2 years, that was special too. And another favorite one I really enjoy European wise is Nando De Colo.
Mm. He was in the league for a little bit, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was in the league for Toronto Raptors.
Yeah.
So you know, and Nando, man, he's great overseas. He's a killer. He plays well. So that was fun. You know, America wise, man, you know, of course you got the Larkin, you got Mike James. Yeah. Them dudes are fun to play. I've been playing against them for years, so it's always fun to match up with them and go at it. And then, like you said, man, I think once you're over there, you meet different Europeans, you know, players that you're like, wow, you can play, bro. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can really go, like, respect, you know what I mean? So.
You ever bumped against Mitchich from Efes? He played against him?
Yeah. So,
what's his deal, man? Like, why is he not coming to the league? I'm confused about that.
I heard he's making, like, 1.8 or 2 million. And I mean, he's the man over there, man. I'm not mad at him. I think he knows that the NBA, man, I think, you know, like, you're not going to be the man. You know what I mean? It's not going to be your show. Where over there at Efes, it's you and Larkin's show.
Yeah.
It's y'all's world over there.
He's a real deal. Mitchell is he.
Yeah. He's about 6'6", 6'5", 6'6". He can shoot. He plays at a nice pace. He's a big guard.
Yep.
Yeah, he's crafty too, man. I ain't gonna lie, man. He's nice.
You think he would fit in the NBA's game like the way they play?
Yeah. He would. Yes, he would. I think he'll be. He's no Luka. No.
Yeah.
But he could definitely play in the NBA. Yes.
Were okay. Yeah. I mean, Cassini, he's like, I'm like, I think he's like a 2-time EuroLeague MVP or something.
Yeah,
like
man, he's nice.
What more you doing over there? Like, you been try it out at least, you know. But I heard he asked for that bag, though. I heard he.
Yeah, man. I ain't mad at him, though. Go get paid, man. You young, man. Go get paid, man. Go get that money.
I feel it, man. This has been an awesome time, man. Sure, I didn't even expect it for it to go this long, man. So definitely want to say thank you, man. And I'm all about giving flowers, man. Like I said, you know, for me, it was crazy because, like I said, watching Nigel and Jeff at Virginia Tech, I was a kid, man, really being able to, like, see you play, man, see how your career took off, man, and get into the league and, you know, just seeing what you've been able to do overseas, man. It was truly an honor to be able to, first of all, meet you last month, man, at the church, man, and be able to bump against you, man. That was definitely a great experience. You know what I'm saying? And definitely, guys, just can't thank you enough for coming on, man. We had a great conversation, man. And shoot, man, like I said, you definitely, you know, one of the best players to come out of this area, for sure. You know what I'm saying? Definitely one of the best players I've had a chance to play against, man. And definitely wishing you the best of luck, you know, with this upcoming season. Have you signed this season yet? Are you still?
I have not yet. No, not yet.
Okay, free agent. All right. So, yeah, man.
Yeah.
Wishing you the best of luck, you know, this year, man. And hopefully next summer, man, we can lace him up again, man, and get some bumping for sure.
Yes, sir. No, I appreciate you having me, my man. Thank you so much. Man, looking forward to seeing you. Best of luck out there in Japan, man. Stay healthy, man, and get home safe. And, man, I'll see you when you get back, bro.
Thank you, man. You too, guys. This has been another episode of the Auto Bid. Like I said, make sure you guys are liking and subscribing to this podcast. It goes a long way, man. This is going to be my guy, Pull Up Tay, on the outro. Until next time, folks. I'm joining the clutch, boy. You beating on me? I can tell. It's time to get a check, boy. You want a sideline? You ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You beating on me? I can tell. What's the topic of discussion? What we talking about? Take your best shot, I'ma take your last shot. I'm drawing in the clutch, boy. Get it up. I don't bear. Let's go. It's a topic of discussion. Look. Pull up, take.